You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk.
Good morning, 7 o'clock. This is the KNSS Morning News with Steve and Ted. I'm Steve McIntosh. More storms overnight. We have the story.
Kansas communities recovering from Sunday's storms. I'm Ted Woodward. Those details just ahead.
Parole revoked for a man who killed a Kansas trooper. I'm Dan O'Neill.
A severe thunderstorm warning was issued for several counties in south-central Kansas around midnight, including Sedgwick. Heavy rain was reported in Wichita for a time with a wind gust of 64 miles per hour clocked at Eisenhower Airport. Some tree damage and power outages reported. Numerous storms developed and moved slowly eastward overnight across central Kansas. A few of the stronger storms produced hail, high winds, and heavy rain.
Parts of northwest Kansas still cleaning up from weekend storms. Multiple reports of storm damage in the town of Grinnell and to a farmstead just outside of the town. Sheriff Sean Mesh says several agencies coming together to help the community.
We couldn't survive without our partnerships with these agencies. Us and the Highway Patrol work real well together. We always have. We've dealt with many severe storms, snowstorms, stuff like that.
No reports of fatalities nor serious injuries from the storm.
The central U.S. continues to face severe weather as tornadoes and hail brought destruction to Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Nebraska. Fox's 25's Grant Palmer reporting on damage to one of the buildings in Okemah, Oklahoma.
The roof was just rolled up into a burrito by what had to be very strong winds blasting through the area. We spoke to Shane Anderson, whose brother owns the building. He says this is at least $100,000 in damage as everything on the inside is destroyed. Despite the damage, he says he's just glad no lives were lost. Anderson says he was in his truck, which was rocking and shaking when the storm was passing through, and says if it wasn't a tornado that was coming through, it had to have been very strong winds because they were extremely powerful.
Severe weather is expected to move east to parts of the Ohio Valley and the mid-Mississippi and Tennessee valleys today.
The Kansas Prisoner Review Board has rescinded its previous decision to grant parole to a man who was convicted of killing a Kansas Highway Patrol trooper in the 1970s.
78-year-old Jimmy Nelms was sentenced to consecutive life terms, plus 9 years after being convicted of unlawful possession of a firearm, aggravated kidnapping and murder in the first degree of Kansas Highway Patrolman Trooper Conroy O'Brien. Nelms was convicted in 1979 and has been housed at the Winfield Correctional Facility. He's been eligible for parole since 1992 and has appeared before the parole board 9 times. He was initially granted parole after a hearing in March, but an official decision wasn't made until May the 6th. The KHP and the Kansas State Troopers Association immediately condemned that decision. On Friday, the board held a new hearing and reversed its earlier decision. Dan O'Neill, KNSS News.
At today's meeting, the Wichita City Council will consider an amended parking ordinance. Mayor Lily Wu tells KNSS News.
The previous plan included Delano and Old Town. This new plan does not include either of those. It's only the downtown core.
How much money is it going to generate, you think, over a year's time?
According to staff, this will generate approximately $2.2 million over 12 months from July of 2025 to the end of June of 2026.
Lily Wu commented on Mondays with the Mayor on Stephen 10 in the Morning Show here on KNSS. KNSS News Time now, 7:05, 5 minutes past 7 o'clock.
Postseason baseball for the Shockers at the conference tournament this afternoon. We'll preview that one coming up with sports.
What claims to be the first book on the new American-born Pope is out already. That story and more just ahead on the KNSS Morning News. KNSS News Time now, 7:08, 8 minutes past 7 o'clock. An Indiana man convicted in the 2000 killing of a police officer received a lethal injection early today in the state's second execution in 15 years. Benjamin Ritchie has been on death row for more than 20 years after being convicted in the fatal shooting of Beech Grove police officer Bill Toney during a foot chase.
President Trump is taking matters into his own hands, rallying Republicans for his big, beautiful bill.
House Republicans will welcome President Trump to their weekly conference meeting, where the president is likely to urge Congress to pass the One Big Beautiful Bill containing his priorities on spending cuts, taxes, immigration, and energy. The White House has urged the slim House majority to unify behind the bill to pass it before House Speaker Mike Johnson's Memorial Day deadline. Republicans still have disagreements surrounding Medicaid provisions, green energy tax incentives, and the state and local tax deduction. On Capitol Hill, Ryan Schmelz, Fox News.
What claims to be the first book on the new American-born Pope is out already.
Saverio Gaeta's book calls Leo XIV the Pope of Globalization, aiming to depict the new pontiff as not just a religious figure but a political leader in increasingly complex international times. It tells the story of how Robert Prevost of Chicago rose up the ranks of the Roman Catholic Church and examines his qualities and passions, such as a desire to focus on the world's worst off. Author Gaeta is described as a Vatican expert. Pope Leo XIV, A Tale of the New Pope and the Challenges He Will Have to Face, is released today. Jonathan Savage, Fox News.
A high school basketball coach in Rhode Island is found not guilty of more serious charges after asking student athletes to get naked for body fat tests.
A jury found a former North Kingstown High School coach not guilty of child molestation and sexual assault after he spent decades asking male student athletes to get naked for a body fat check. Aaron Thomas was found guilty of a lesser charge of misdemeanor battery Monday. His defense claimed Thomas did not touch the boys for sexual gratification. However, prosecutors argued it was unnecessary for the boys to completely disrobe, something the former coach did acknowledge. Thomas testified he likely saw 600 students throughout his career while admitting to often pinching near the groin and buttocks during body fat tests. Tom Graham, Fox News.
KNSS News Time now, 7:11, 11 minutes past 7 o'clock.
All right, we have a traffic accident. You'll want to avoid this area. Northbound I-235 north of Kellogg. We have an accident there. We'll be slowing things down. Again, that's northbound on I-235 north of Kellogg. Traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS and the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Chad Chambers.
Now the time for the KNSN Storm Tracker 3 forecast with Kansas Today meteorologist Ronnell Williams. Good morning, Ronnell.
Good morning, Steve and Ted. How you guys doing?
Doing pretty good so far this morning, right? Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully the wind didn't wake up too many people late last night. You know, those winds, honestly, they were pretty wicked. I'm sure some of us having some cleaning up to do, and I suggest we get that done, you know, while it's dry. So as far as it being dry, we are going to get a break from storms today. You know, of course, it's been a busy couple of days. Just expecting skies to turn mostly sunny today with a nice warm high of 76 degrees. It is going to be windy, though. Northwest winds at 15 to 30 miles an hour. As far as the, you know, the annoying classic Kansas winds, I think that's going to be our only weather worry today. Clear skies tonight, cool low of 48 degrees, and then mostly sunny to partly cloudy tomorrow with a 10% chance of possibly seeing a shower or thunderstorm. We'll continue that 10% chance throughout Wednesday night. A lot of us should remain dry. You know, that rain thunderstorm chance doesn't look as good as the setup that we've had over the last couple of days. I should stay dry throughout much of the day on Thursday, but then by Thursday night, there's going to be another chance of a passing shower or thunderstorm. So far, we're not expecting anything severe over the next few days. Now, once we get into Friday and the start of our Memorial Day weekend, here's where rain and thunderstorm chance is going to be a bit more consistent. Now, it's not going to be raining every day, all the time, all day long, but it does look like things are going to be on and off throughout much of our upcoming holiday weekend. So outside time likely going to be limited, but at least temperatures are going to be nice. We'll be at 70 degrees on Friday, 77 Saturday, 78 degrees on Sunday, and then 73 degrees on Memorial Day. Throughout the upcoming holiday weekend, anywhere between a 30 to 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Right now, 54 degrees, turning partly cloudy, northwest breeze at 17 miles an hour.
I can remember a couple of Memorial Days when it rained pretty well. One of them just three years ago on Memorial Day it was raining. So not unusual, to put it that way.
That's true. And you know, even though we're not necessarily expecting anything severe right now, Steve, Ted, and everybody listening, a couple of things. Of course, that could change, and we'll let you know as soon as possible should that change. And even if there isn't anything severe, we're still talking about thunderstorms, people being outside. Therefore, you still need to make sure that you're being weather aware, protecting yourself from lightning and, you know, things like that.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, sir. Meteorologist Ron L. Williams with our forecast today here with Steve and Ted. We had a partly, this is the 20th day of May, by the way, and we had a partly cloudy day across south central Kansas Monday. Warm, high of 89 degrees yesterday, normal high 79. I checked it with the statistics with the National Weather Service, and they had a tenth of an inch of rain or precipitation at Eisenhower Airport. That was around midnight, possibly a little more after that, as that wind gust, front came through, and the wind gusted up to about 64 miles per hour at the airport. On this date in 1957, an F-4 tornado cut a track of nearly total devastation from Williamsburg, Kansas, through the southeast suburbs of Kansas City. The track was 71 miles long and nearly a half mile wide. There were 44 deaths, 531 injuries. 1957. It goes, that was in the days when, as a matter of fact, I was at Kansas City. I don't know, that may have been that storm, but visiting my my aunt and uncle and my cousins, and I remember being down in the basement, and they had the radio on talking about the tornado that was just not too far from there. So I don't know if that was the same tornado or not, but it was in Kansas City. I was probably about, well, about that age, about 7 years old, so there you go. This is, let's see, on this date, let me see, 32 years ago, 1993, more than 80 million people watched the final episode of Cheers. What a big sitcom that
man.
Was. Wow. And that makes it the second highest rated series finale ever, just behind MASH and just ahead of Seinfeld. So Cheers comes in at second place.
I was one of those people.
I was watching that last show. What a great show that was. Again,
watching that at
terrific
home with my
characters.
Mom and dad. Yeah,
you had Frasier Crane on there, and you had the guys at the end of the bar that were always there. Norm, what was the postman's name?
Cliff Clavin.
Cliff Clavin. Who's we still see him doing that commercial for the.
Oh yeah, he's still getting money. Call before you dig.
Here's a birthday for you. Cher is 79.
She's still
when
doing
you think
it.
Think of Cher,
still
you don't it. Care of you don't think of a woman whose name was Cheryl Sarkisian. She was born in 1946, an American singer, actress, and television star. Dubbed the goddess of pop, she won an Academy Award.
Yes, she did.
For Moonstruck.
She's very good.
One
in that
of my
movie.
Favorite movies. I love that movie. A Grammy Award, an Emmy Award, 3 Golden Globes.
Very talented.
And Best Actress Award at the Cannes Film Festival. Cher's having a birthday, and she shares that birthday with my grandson, Luke Thummel. Luke T, they called him in school when he was going to Bishop Carroll, and apparently he was in first or second place for the number of detentions earned in a 4-year career there.
Oh, my.
I believe first place went to his brother, Nolan. I'm not sure, but he had his desk was in the principal's office, as I understand it. That may be a little exaggeration. He's a good guy. Luke T, he's always been a good kid, a good guy. Having a birthday. I think he's 22 today, Ted.
About that.
Have you ever heard the story of the Cordell tornadoes?
Nope.
I haven't either till I found this out today. Cordell is a small town in Rooks County up in northwest Kansas. 109 years ago, 1916, Cordell was hit by a tornado. 108 years ago, the same date in 1917, Cordell was hit by a tornado again. Exactly 1 year after the first
one. 1 year later.
1 year after that, 1918, same date. They were hit by another tornado. The third was the most destructive, killing 10 people, wrecking a good portion of the town.
No wonder I've never heard of this
town.
Yeah,
isn't that weird?
It's not there anymore.
It's on the same date, though. In 1916, 17, and 18, they had tornadoes.
Those folks had to just feel...
I think I saw someone on Facebook that they have a big statue of a tornado up there with good reason. 7:18, Steve and Ted in the morning here on KNSS. Let's take a look at sports now with Ted Woodward.
All right, we've hit postseason baseball for the Shocks. It's Wichita State in action today at the American Conference Tournament, getting underway in Clearwater, Florida. First round action. It'll be the number 7 seed, Wichita State, taking on the number 2 seed, Charlotte. And winning streaks are on the line for both. Charlotte comes in 9 wins in a row. The Shockers on a season high 5-game winning streak. So both teams are red hot coming into this one. Shockers in Charlotte. Mike Kennedy and Denning Gehrig will have the call of the game. Shocker baseball at 2:45 this afternoon. And that is live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Shockers, who did very well in the American Conference Tournament last season, trying to do it again this year. That's down in Clearwater, Florida. All right, let's take a look at Major League Baseball. Late last night, Kansas City Royals on the West Coast visiting the San Francisco Giants in a low-scoring game. The Royals got great pitching, as they have pretty much all season long, from Chris Bubich, who is from the San Francisco area, and he was right at home. Went seven innings, only gave up two hits. But when he was done in the bottom of the seventh, it was still a 0-0 game. The Royals got him no support. Oh, boy. Let's see what happened in the top of the eighth inning late last night on KFH.
The 1-0 pitch. Pasquantino launches it deep to right field. Matos is out of the track. Looks up. It's out of here. Out of the second row of bleachers up above the high right field fence. Vinny Pasquantino clears the bricks and scores the first two runs of the game with one swing. 2-0 Royals in the top of the eighth inning. Pasquantino's eighth home run of the season. He took a slider over the outside edge and hit it right on top of the right field fence. The 20-foot high wall in right center. 399-foot homer for Pasquantino.
Well, the 0-0 game, that sure helps. And the pitching held up as the Royals win it 3-1 at San Francisco last night. Hey, the Bubich with the win. Thanks to that home run there, Bubich is now 5-2 on the season for the Royals with a 1.47 earned run average. Seven more scoreless innings last night. Hey, how about that? The Royals with back-to-back wins. They are at San Francisco again tonight for a late game on the West Coast. 8:30 tonight. Listen to the Royals and the Giants live on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Other major league action yesterday, the St. Louis Cardinals win at home. They are red hot. Cardinals beat the top team in baseball. Who is the top team in the majors, Steve McIntosh?
I haven't a clue. I'm sorry.
They beat the Detroit Tigers.
I was going to say that.
The best team in the majors right now. But the Cardinals beat them bad, 11-4 in St. Louis last night. The Cardinals have won 13 of their last 15.
I understand they've gotten real hot since we had a new pope. Who was a Cardinal?
The St. Louis Cardinals playing very well as they keep winning and they whacked Detroit last night. Let's take a look at JUCO softball, the 47th annual JUCO World Series underway in Yuma, Arizona. Second round game yesterday. Ninth seed Butler shutting out 8-seed Paris, Texas, 3-0 behind the pitching of a freshman from Circle High School out of Benton. Ellie Randall throwing a four-hit shutout, only allowing four singles against one of the nation's better offenses. She got the win. She's now 17-2 this season for Butler in her freshman year.
Wow.
Now Butler is into the national quarterfinals on a six-game winning streak. The Grizzlies are 45-7 on the season. How about that? That is sports with Steve and Ted.
7:22 now. Keep it here for a house call for health. Some tips for boaters as Safe Boating Week begins. That's on the way with Steve and Ted in the morning on KNSS.
This is Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
Good morning, 7:30, Steve and Ted in the morning. Steve McIntosh, Ted Woodward, 55 degrees on this Tuesday morning. President Trump believes there is progress in Russia and Ukraine reaching a ceasefire.
Russia and Ukraine will immediately start negotiating a ceasefire agreement, President Trump said, following a more than two-hour phone conversation with Russian President Vladimir Putin.
And I think some progress has been made. It's a terrible situation going on over there.
In a social media post, the president says Pope Leo has offered the Vatican to play host to ceasefire talks. It's unclear, however, how quickly that fighting will stop. Speaking with reporters in Moscow, Putin said he's ready to work on a memorandum outlining the framework of a peace treaty, but added the Russian position is clear to eliminate the root causes of the crisis. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Results of the Goddard School Board election have been made official. The Sedgwick County Board of Canvassers met Monday to review the provisional ballots and certify the results. Final count, 2,117 yes votes and 2,588 no votes.
A woman in Hayesville making her first appearance in federal court yesterday. after a Wichita grand jury indicted her for child sex crimes. 23-year-old Adeline Onifer is charged with three counts of distribution of child pornography. The case was brought as part of a Project Safe Childhood. That's a nationwide initiative to combat the growing epidemic of child sexual exploitation and abuse. It was launched in May 2006 by the Department of Justice. The Kansas Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force and the Wichita Police Department are investigating.
An interesting defense for a man accused of setting a fire that tore through a county in southern New Jersey.
19-year-old Joseph Kling is charged with arson in connection to the Jones Road wildfire last month. Prosecutors say Kling set wooden pallets on fire and left without putting it out. But he says he shouldn't be held responsible for the fire because there were others with him who could have snuffed it out. Kling says he was at a bonfire with about 16 other people and was the first to leave. His attorney also says there's no evidence the bonfire led to the wildfire, which burned over 15,000 acres throughout southern Ocean County. Tom Rigotti, Fox News.
Two gang members in Texas are sentenced for human smuggling.
The pair nabbed following a number of high-speed border chases that ICE says put countless lives at risk, including one where the gang member crashed his car into the Rio Grande and then swam to Mexico to escape, convicted of conspiracy to transport undocumented immigrants. Charged after finally being tracked down by ICE and the Texas Department of Public Safety. Gary Baumgarten, Fox News.
Wichita River Festival begins in just a few days. Mayor Lily Wu is encouraging everyone to attend the annual party of music, food, and family fun.
It's a nonprofit. It's run by a lot of volunteers, actually. And they have a new executive director that came on this year. And there's lots of activities for all family members and all young professionals and youth to engage in. And so I really encourage people to participate in Riverfest.
Riverfest begins May 30th. Lily Wu commented during Mondays with the mayor on the Steve and Ted in the Morning Show on KNSS. And now a look at the forecast with meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Not as stormy today with drier skies. After having high winds overnight, probably going to have to pick up some tree limbs and a lot of branches as we go throughout the day. Gradually turning mostly sunny with a pleasant warm high of 76 degrees. Still going to be gusty, too. Winds out of the northwest 15 to 30. With your Storm Track 3 forecast, I'm meteorologist Ronnell Williams.
Now we have a mostly cloudy sky. We have a northwest wind at 16 miles per hour. 55 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. 7:34 now on this Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. It's time for our weekly chat with Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty. Good morning, sir.
Steve and Ted, good morning. Great to be with you.
Good to be here with you as well. I don't know what you want to talk about today. I was trying to find an agenda for your meeting tomorrow, but I didn't find one anywhere. Did somebody not put it on the web page, or what happened there?
No, we didn't have any staff error for that one. We actually don't have a meeting tomorrow. We don't have a meeting for the next 2 weeks, actually, and it's for a couple of different reasons. The first is we just finished up 2 weeks of budget hearings. We do things a little different at Sedgwick County government. We have 46 departments. We're a large organization, 3,000 employees, and the Board of County Commission, all five commissioners, are really active in the budget processing. That's really the most important thing that we do. So for 2 weeks in May every year, all 46 department heads come and do a presentation before the county commission so that we can just analyze where their needs are, what kind of a state of the union is, and if they have any specific budget requests. And that's what we've been doing for the last 2 weeks. It's quite a process, and we always take off that meeting right after that. And then the last Wednesday of the month, we typically take off as well. So got a lot of work done the last couple of weeks, and we feel pretty good about where we're heading into the budget season. But there are some challenges, and it's going to be a significant time as we try to shape this 2026 budget.
You seeing any wiggle room in there, any places where you can maybe cut some spending down, anything like that?
You know, we've been one of the things that I like to make sure that people understand about Sedgwick County government is, you know, we are incredibly lean. If you look at things about mill levy, property tax mill levy, you know, we're only responsible. I hope your listeners are really listening on this one. We're only responsible for about 20% of the overall property tax bill. We get a lot of questions about property taxes because the bill comes from the Sedgwick County treasurer, and it's the Sedgwick County appraiser that does valuations, and it's the Sedgwick County clerk's office that sends notices, but Sedgwick County government is only about 20% of the property tax bill. And we have the lowest mill levy in 27 years. You know, we have last 2 years, my first 2 years, we've lowered mill levy and really tried to provide some sort of property tax relief. That'll be a theme for year three, my third year, is we will reduce mill levy and try to provide some sort of relief. But there are some significant pressures. And, you know, I'm taking away some of the takeaways that I have from our budget hearings. You know, there's pressures on public safety. If you think about what we've got to do at 911 and EMS, you know, the call volume coming into 911 over the last 3 years has significantly surged. They get 1,100 calls a day now on average. EMS, when I first got on the county commission, they were averaging about 150 calls throughout Sedgwick County a day. And now they're averaging about 200 calls a day. So with increased workload, we've got to scale their departments, and that takes money. The other department that's significantly under a lot of pressure is the sheriff's office. You know, when I first got on the county commission, they were down 120 deputies in the entire department. He's now full staff, and that's been a big lift to getting back to full staff with compensation and some structural changes. And the sheriff has done a wonderful job, and we try to support him every step of the way. But when Jeff Easter first became the sheriff, his medical budget was about $1.8 million a year. His medical budget now is $10 million a year. We have a sicker population in the jail, not just physically, but also, you know, about two-thirds of his population either has a mental health disorder or a substance use addiction. And the cost of trying to maintain the medical in his jail, and that all falls down to local property tax dollars. So we've got some pressures, but, you know, we also are really, really adamant on trying to provide some property tax relief. So we'll be hard at work at trying to accomplish both of those things over the next few months.
Why are we getting so many more 911 calls?
Well, we have an aging population. We have a sicker population, and I think data supports both of those things. And, you know, we're more mobile. You know, I'll give you one example that I think most people don't understand. You know, fire, Wichita Fire, Sedgwick County Fire, about 70% of their calls are actually medical calls, not just fire calls. And what do we know about a lot of medical calls is the bulk of them come from an aging population or car accidents. What do we also know about vehicles today and people that are driving on the roads? We have a more distracted drivers than we've ever had because of technology and because of phones. So there are more accidents. And, you know, so these are just all things that impact the outcomes in public safety. And we've got to be able to scale public safety to meet the need. The other thing that we're trying to do with EMS and 911 is, you know, if we just take the same old approach and the same status quo approach and just keep just dumping dollars into it without reforming the model, I don't think that we're becoming efficient. So some of the things we're doing at 911 is, you know, we've embedded two ComCare social workers at 911 to try to stem off mental health calls. We've actually separated call takers from dispatchers, which has been more FT, more full-time employees coming in, but we think it's a better product. We've got specific dispatchers now being trained where they're only doing fire calls or only doing police calls and things of that sort. So while we're trying to scale up, we're also modernizing the model so that we can have not just better efficiency, but better outcomes for the taxpayers. And it's what I enjoy about running the local organization of Sedgwick County government. It is complex, it is diverse, but there's also a lot of opportunities to continue to modernize and pivot these models for better outputs.
The other thing that you have added in the past, and I think you probably want to today, is that the Sedgwick County government is basically, what, about 80% mandated by the state of Kansas on what you can do?
Yeah. The bulk of what we do is state mandated. So 16 of our 46 departments, we actually manage on behalf of the state. So if you think about the county clerk and the treasurer, the election commissioner and the appraiser, these are all state functions that we fund their budget. The district attorney and the sheriff, you know, those are elected individuals. You know, we don't run their departments, but we fund their budgets. And again, there are property tax pressures in the marketplace right now. I think about those living on fixed income, those that are nearing retirement age, those that run small businesses. There's significant property tax pressures. So it's okay. Two things can be true at once. We have pressures on public safety in this community, while at the same time, we have pressures on property taxes. That's a tough balance, and that's why what we do is really important, and that's why we take it so seriously.
And you mentioned something here about the inmate population. None of us want to see people who are dangerous running around on the streets, but once you pick them up, you got to take them someplace and you got to take care of them, right?
Yeah, yeah. 100% of the people that come through the Sedgwick County Jail are going to go off to a different destination. They're either coming back to the community or they're going off to a more permanent stay at a state or a federal penitentiary. Mm-hmm. So, but we're mandated to make sure that what we're doing in the jail is working. And one of the things why I really appreciate about Jeff Easter, our sheriff, is that he's trying to be preventative, not just reactive. It's one thing just to call this thing a hotel and hold them until they move on to the next stop. But he's actually trying to do things in mental health and substance use and housing and things to where he's trying to set them up to where the level of recidivism to where we're not going to see him again in 2 months, 3 months. So what I've learned in 2.5 years of being at the county commission is all of these things are so closely linked together. You can't just pull one lever and change an output. When you think about housing and poverty and substance use and mental health, you think about crime, all of these things are linked together. And that's why we have to have a really collaborative and approach, because these complex issues, they don't go away. And we've got to keep working to improve the health of our community. And I'm determined to do that. I know my colleagues are as well.
All right. That's we appreciate it, and we will, I guess, check with you next week.
I'll be with you next week, guys.
Have a good Memorial Day.
Yeah.
You too.
All right. Sedgwick County Commission Chair Ryan Beatty with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. Coming up, we've got the Wichita Business Journal update with Kirk Seminoff this morning. Tanganyika Wildlife Park is expanding. He's going to tell us about that. And that's on the way with Steve and Ted in the Morning here on KNSS. Steve and Ted in the Morning, KNSS, 7:46 on this Tuesday morning. Three big things.
Three.
Kansas Prisoner Review Board has rescinded parole for a man convicted of killing a state trooper in 1978.
Two.
Wichita City Council will discuss an amended parking plan today that will limit paid parking to the downtown area.
One.
More storms across central Kansas overnight with heavy rain and high wind. Downed lines and power outages in Wichita. Three big things, Steve and Ted on KNSS.
Traffic right now in the Wichita area. Well, the traffic volume's pretty heavy. I've got some fairly heavy traffic on the ramp from I-235 to southbound I-135 and on the ramp over to eastbound K-96. And things are starting to back up on the ramp from north and southbound I-135. The Kellogg traffic update from 98.7 and 1330 KNSS in the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center. I'm Jed Chambers.
Sunny and windy today with a high of 74 degrees. Yesterday's high was a warm 89. Mostly clear tonight, the overnight low 49. And then on Wednesday, sunny. Tomorrow's high 76 degrees. Now mostly cloudy. Northwest wind at 16 miles per hour. 85 degrees at Wichita Severe Weather Station, 98.7. And 1330 KNSS. Our weather is brought to you by the Monarch. $7 signature and classic cocktails today at the Monarch. All cocktails on both menus are just $7. The Monarch, 579 West Douglas at the roundabout in historic Delano. The tech of the near future is already having an impact on the job market.
Fox on Tech.
It's graduation season, but this year, thanks to artificial intelligence, Americans are facing a very different job market. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York says the job market for recent grads deteriorated noticeably in the first quarter of this year. IT company CrowdStrike says it's cutting 500 jobs as it embraces AI. In an SEC filing, the company says the technology is helping it innovate from ideas to products faster. The feds, they're in on it too. The IRS says it's cutting jobs and hopeful AI can handle more of its operations. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent recently told lawmakers in the long run, AI will help the government.
Through smarter IT, through this AI boom, that we can use that to enhance collections.
Experts say while some jobs will be lost to AI, others believe new careers will develop and emerge. Still, some warn in the short term there will be disruption. With Fox on Tech, Mark Meredith, Fox News.
Wall Street began the week on a positive note Monday.
Stocks staging a late-day rally after Moody's cut the U.S. credit rating. At the close, the Dow higher by 137 points, the S&P up 5, the Nasdaq up 4. Moody's was the last of the big credit rating agencies to strip treasuries of their AAA credit rating, citing fiscal risks as the big reason why. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent discounted the importance of Moody's move, saying the downgrade was a lagging indicator. But investors weighing the rising cost of federal government debt sold treasuries, sending the 10-year yield as high as 4.55% and the 30-year above 5%, its highest level since 2023. In New York, Jerry Willis, Fox News.
Tanganyika Wildlife has plans to expand. Time for the Wichita Business Journal update with editor Kirk Seminoff. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning, Steve. Goddard's Tanganyika Wildlife Park says it will start construction this month on a $1.5 million expansion that builds two new pools for swim experiences. One is for penguins, and the second will be a rare Swim with the Otters exhibit. The project will also build three touch tanks for various types of fish. Construction begins as Tanganyika is in its first full year of an all-inclusive pricing model that is meant to draw the regional tourist wanting a resort experience. Leaders of the 20-year-old park expect park attendance to drop by about half this year because of the pricing change, but they're expecting the more expensive model to be able to draw tourists once school is out and families are on the go. A $25 million expansion project at WSU Tech's National Center for Aviation Training is a go after the Wichita City Council approved a lease of 9.6 acres on the northwest edge of Jabara Airport. WSU Tech on Webb Road will expand to the south by building an airplane hangar and educational building that will include space for classrooms, learning labs, and a drone complex. NCAT turns 15 years old this year, and construction is expected to begin in August with a January 27 completion date. And a new barbershop in Old Town plans to open in July and cater to men wanting more than a haircut. The Barbershop Old Town at 121 North Mead, and a new neighbor to the Business Journal, wants to elevate grooming for men and will encourage the barbers they hire to market themselves heavily on social media in pursuit of bringing more traffic into the shop. The shop will be almost 3,000 square feet and include as many as 10 chairs when fully staffed. Local breaking business news every day on CanSS and at WichitaBusinessJournal.com. For the Wichita Business Journal, I'm Kirk Seminoff.
I'm going to have to drop in on those guys, see what he can do with my flowing locks. What do you think?
Oh, mine too. My haircut takes about 3 minutes.
Really? Mine takes about two. It's like I've just enlisted in the Marine Corps. Well, thank you.
That'll be $12, sir.
Yes, sir. All right. Are you talking about Tanganyika Wildlife Park? And my understanding is they swim with the penguins thing out there. It's just the neatest thing there is. People just love that.
And yes, and they're adding one of those. And then the Swim with the Otters exhibit is pretty rare. There's only a handful nationally that you can go to and actually get in the water with the otters. So trying to bring something different to the park.
In the water with the otter.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I tell you, it's... those animals, I have the impression they're kind of ornery. They could be kind of weird to swim with, huh?
They're kind of like Ted.
Yeah.
There you go.
They're bigger than you think they are. You think, oh, an otter. But then you see them in person. Like, those are sizable animals.
Huh. All right.
But they're cute.
I wonder when they're going to do the Swim with the Piranha exhibit. It won't be open. Won't be open long.
There you go.
Yeah, you going to propose that to Matt Faust?
Mr. Faust? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
They're looking for volunteers to test it out.
Test it out. There you go. National Quiche Lorraine Day, or it's Quiche as we call it. Quiche Lorraine has its origins beginning in the rural Lorraine region of France, and while it's considered a French dish, it developed during a time when the Lorraine region was under German rule. This explains why the word quiche comes from the German word Kuchen, meaning cake.
Huh.
It's an egg cake, right? My wife has taught herself to make a very nice quiche. And every now and then we dine on it, and we think we're pretty darn hot. What do you think? You a big fan of Quiche Lorraine there, Kirk?
I am not. All this time I thought Lorraine was an actual woman, but it's a region of France, huh?
No, it's a region, yeah. It's a region of France.
Now we know.
Now we know the rest of the story. All right. Thank you, sir. And Kirk Editor Kirk Staminoff with the Wichita Business Journal.
Here we see a woman. That's why you never heard of Keish Babs.
Keish. Right. All right. Coming up at the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted. Stay with us. We've got the latest news on the storms across Kansas and recovery underway in several Kansas towns hard hit by the storms. Ted has sports coming up, right, Ted?
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we'll be taking a look at Late Night with the Kansas City Royals last night. See if the Royals were able to get a win on the road. We'll have that highlights coming up in sports.
Plus entertainment news. How about the Blur?
Yeah, got some good audio coming your way. Some interesting folks will show up in the Blur. Entertainment news at 8:35 this morning.
And, of course, we have traffic and weather in the 8 o'clock hour with Steve and Ted on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.